Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world. The Philadelphia Eagles
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I am your host, Brendan Tassif, joined as always by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville.
Hey.
What is up, my guy?
What is going on? You can tell we're recording at night because Brendan is not yelling.
No, very, very quiet. We are back to our regularly scheduled recording times now that Q4 and that hellscape of my work is over. Yes. And I'm no longer getting home at like midnight on a fucking Monday.
Ooh.
So,
damn.
Yeah, we close at 9, by the way, on Monday. So anyone listening for the first time, I'm glad you're joining us. Glad you're tuning in just in time for the NFL playoffs. Quick rundown of what we're going to do here on the show. We're going to talk about all the big sports, all the major things happening, which includes the aforementioned NFL playoffs. We'll get into the NCAA playoffs as well. That's so weird to say, the playoffs. And then we're going to do an NBA check-in. Then we'll get to the quick hits where we will be talking about hockey and our beloved Fulham. Noticing a trend with Fulham as of late, which is starting to become upsetting. It's very season two of Ted Lasso when they drew 8 straight, or season 3 or whatever it was. And then we're going to skip the walk off this week and we're going to go straight into the press conference. So, Joe, if you would.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off. Here we go.
All right, here we go. We are not talking about the games of this past week because a lot of them were stinkers and a lot of them didn't matter.
But we are a lot of stinkers.
What we are going to do is we are going to look ahead to the playoffs and we're going to talk about how we got here. So,
real quick, I was going to say, I was listening to the Levitard show and the producer Chris Cody made a great point. Week 18 now is like watching Red Zone feels like there's some shame to it. Like this is not as fun. I feel like a degenerate, get off the couch, you lazy fuck. Like, what are we doing?
I was watching Red Zone. So I checked the score, at the start of the 3 o'clock or the 1 o'clock games. And I showed Tracy because she is obviously a Jags fan now. And I was like, can you believe it? Indianapolis scored in the first 3 minutes. It's 7-0. Can you believe that? And then her aunt is like, what are you doing? Watching football? And I was like, come on. Like, no, I'm not watching. I was just checking. Don't try and call me out in front of grandma. Like, don't. What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? I was just checking the score.
I had the game. I had Red Zone on. And I just felt like I didn't even have the Eagles game on. Because I was like,
Red Zone.
I was like, we're wrapped up. Like,
yeah,
everybody's not even playing. So I just had Red Zone popping up every now and again. It was like, you're not watching the Eagles? I was like, I don't even feel like watching any of this right now.
Yeah.
Like, if not for the Tampa Bay and the Falcons stuff, that was a meaningless weekend of football.
Yeah. So the Falcons are out. Tampa's in. We're going to get to them. But Kansas City got bulldozed by the Broncos. And Chris Broussard, I don't really like Chris Broussard, but he did make a good point where he was like, other teams that are on the bubble, well, first of all, don't be on the bubble. Like, that's obviously the main point. Yeah. But he did make a good point where he's like, these teams, like, this is how it, he was trying to tie it into the NBA because he's an NBA reporter, but he's like, this is kind of how it starts, where it was, you know, back in the 90s and early aughts, players sometimes would rest going into the playoffs. And then it became, oh, well, we've already won the division, so let's rest now. And now all of a sudden, like in the NBA, players just rest throughout the year. Mm. And he was like, it's a slippery slope, which I don't fully agree with because football is a different sport. It's only 16 games.
Yeah, I was like, 17,
excuse me. But the thing that did frustrate me that he kind of got me riled up with was Kansas City could have beaten Denver and then the Bengals, who are the best team on the bubble, would be in the playoffs, but they're not. And I was kind of like, you know, sometimes when you watch something, you don't ever think about it and you're like, no, you're wrong. But then you watch it and you're like, yeah.
But that's kind of how I felt. But that's also like a dumb logic because
You shouldn't
Kansas
be on the
City
bubble.
Doesn't one, you don't want to be on the bubble, but Kansas City, it's not in their, it's not to their benefit to make the road harder. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. What are you talking about? I don't want.
And also, it was just weird though, because it was one of those things where I was watching.
Also, go ahead. Can I hate this narrative that has been going on for like 2 weeks that Kansas City must be scared of the Bengals if they get. The Bengals would have to go to Buffalo before they would even see Kansas City.
You said this last week. Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about? Can we stop mentioning them two in the same context?
Yeah, and I completely disagree with what he said. But in the moment, as I was watching it, I got riled up and I was like, ugh, this is gross. Like, who, like, ugh. But Kansas City does have a bye. They got bulldozed by Denver. Bo Nix looked like the rookie of the year in this game. I mean, he looked insane. Carson Wentz, he did get hurt. We didn't get like hurt, but he went to throw and one of his offensive linemen was getting backed into him. So he did that whole like hits his elbow as he's releasing the ball on their helmet, which always turns into like a big, like that happened to Josh Allen last week and he lost feeling in his hand. Like it can be a big deal.
Happened to Darnold last night.
Yeah. And he was playing hurt. Nobody mentioned that he had this big wrap on his pinky down to his wrist.
Who's up?
Darnold.
Man, I don't believe him.
What do you mean? It was there. This is a conspiracy.
I saw the game. I don't believe it. I don't remember what you, that.
Dude, it was three plays, man. If they would have had that pick six.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. So Kansas City, how do you feel about them going into the playoffs? Because Patrick Mahomes actually had worse statistics in the major categories than Aaron Rodgers this year.
Also, I feel like There's a virus permeating like the American zeitgeist. Like, we know better, yet we choose to act ignorant.
Yeah.
Because the people, when talking about Kansas City resting, are we not going to remember that Patrick Mahomes like had a high ankle extended high ankle like a couple weeks ago and then had to play three games in 11 days? Like, there's a reasoning to why they're resting him.
Yeah.
And some like Chris Jones, I believe, has a hamstring or a hand injury or something. Like,
yeah, it's week 18. Like, you can rest.
If you can rest, go and rest. Like,
yeah.
So I feel the whole conversation around them resting and being scared of so-and-so and all this stuff, it's like, you guys know better, but you're choosing to be dumb in this manner. But I think Kansas City is going to be good. The last time we saw them at full strength was on Christmas Day. They seemed to be right when they beat the Steelers. It was the first time they got close to scoring 30 points. They haven't scored 30 points all season. But if their strategy is similar to what it was last season, try to get up early in the playoff games, hold it down, run the ball, run the clock. The thing that most concerns me about their chances, which actually doesn't concern me because I don't want them to see them win, is their running game, even when Pacheco came back from injury, hasn't really shown what it could be like it was last year. So
I think he's still hurt.
I think everyone's still hurt. So it's going to be interesting to see their first playoff game post this rest, because I can't remember when their bye was specifically, but this is going to be probably the longest rest they've had since their bye week. So,
yeah, 100%, especially having the bye week going into the playoffs. Next one we want to talk about. Are you going to do the sounder for each one, or can we just go through it? Okay. Next one we're going to talk about the Saturday early game, so the most disrespected game in all of the playoffs.
The game that's always played by this team.
Yes. The AFC South champion always plays early Saturday, which this year is the Houston Texans, and they will be playing the Chargers. Chargers, a great story. Jim Harbaugh comes in there, turns it around, 11-win team, into the playoffs. Beat up on the Raiders going into the playoffs. The Texans went against the Titans, and the Titans ended up putting in Will Levis to lose that game so they could maintain a high draft pick. So
they have the pick now.
Yeah, Houston ends up winning that, but I thought the Browns had the first pick.
No, I would say Tennessee had the first pick.
Wow, the Titans. So
I think
the thing
so.
That I
let me double check though.
The thing I want to talk about with you is Houston has been on a skid for the last 3 weeks, and playing a close game against the Titans didn't make anybody feel better about Houston. The Chargers seem to be playing really well going into the playoffs. Who do you have? This is going to be at Houston. Who do you have?
Titans have the first pick.
Then the Browns and the Pats. Or no, then the Browns and the Giants.
I think Pats have the fourth, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is probably the most confounding game to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because one of the issues the Chargers have had throughout the season is their defense against the run. And if Houston can unlock Joe Mixon as they did earlier in the season, then I think they really have a strong chance. But their run game is very, it's too predictable. Like, they run on first down like a large percentage of the time. So it's like teams are able to snuff it out easily. And then that gets you in a long down situation for second down, and then a long down situation for third down, because now we know you're going to pass to try to get out of the hole. Bobby Slowick, I'd say if all the OCs that stayed put, his stock probably went down the most, because it looked like CJ Stroud regressed. And then it doesn't help that, you know, every receiver they had has missed significant time. Nico Collins is back, but, you know, he dealt with a neck injury.
I just want to push back a little bit on that. Going into this season, Josh Allen, they made fun of his receiver room, and he's going to win the MVP. Maybe.
Yeah, but Josh Allen's also 5 years into this.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's just when people bring up the receiver thing a lot, it's just kind of like
the town around them.
Yeah, Joe Burrow.
I mean, Jalen Hurts.
Sam Darnold.
I mean, it's just like, it's not
Baker. Oh, wait, never mind. That's my guy.
Nothing's wrong with having great players around you. Everybody needs great players around you. I feel like if Joe Montana doesn't have Jerry Rice, do we know who Joe Montana is?
That is Joe Montana.
If Dwight Clark is there, if the other guy, I can't remember, I think his name starts with a J or something, be it before my time. But yeah, no, I think the Chargers end up pulling this one out. Maybe they decide to start charging now that
Harbaugh's there. That's always, we're thinking about that in the back of my head, where I'm like, hey, are they going to let us down again? Because I disagree in the sense that I agree that the Chargers win, but I think the Chargers are going to boat race Houston. Houston has a good pass rush and a pretty good defense, you know, courtesy of D'Amico Ryans and that big, beautiful ball brain of his. But I don't think they can keep up with the Justin Herbert, Ladd McConkey kind of, I don't know what it is, but the chart, like, maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid and listening to too much talk radio, but the Justin Herbert, like, how good some of those throws that he made in that Raiders game, you were like, what?
Yeah,
the
but I've this also seen Raiders. Justin Herbert, like, give the game away to the Jags.
He's had a bunch of opportunities in the fourth quarter to win. Yeah, we beat him. We beat him. So, we beat him bad.
I also seen him put 17 points on against the Bucks. 17 against the Chiefs.
No, you're right.
Like, so 15 against the Cardinals.
I think I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid. Everyone's like, they're Justin Herbert.
I think you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
It's from last year, too. Everybody knows how much I like big white quarterbacks.
I think there's a lot of Kool-Aid to be said. I mean, look, as is well documented on the show, people have been trying to make Justin Herbert the thing since he stepped into the NFL.
Yeah.
But he hasn't shown me anything yet. And this would be the first, you know, first time he could show something. This would be his first playoff win.
Yet to win a playoff game.
So, yeah. I think they win. I don't know if it's big, but I do think they win.
Okay. Speaking of guys that want to show us something, our beloved adopted Baltimore Ravens going against Pittsburgh. This is in Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. They stole the number 3 seed.
This is weird, because if it was anybody else, I'd pick Baltimore. But these games are always weird. Tomlin always does his weird voodoo magic, and they're close. They're close games. It's like 19-16, 21-18. I still think Baltimore's going to win this game, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than if Baltimore played almost any other team.
Baltimore just played this team a couple weeks ago. It was 34-17.
What was the first one?
The first one was close. They lost that. It was 18-16.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Justin Tucker kept missing field goals.
Yeah. That was the one where if he just makes two of them, then he...
Yeah, if he just makes the two he should have made, then it's a done deal.
Yeah, I think Baltimore wins.
I think it's going to be another boat race.
Okay. Like, well, we did the same thing last week for college. We both picked team, but they were like flip-flop.
Yeah. I think the Pittsburgh offense is just... That defense could only do so much.
Yeah.
And it got them to the postseason. But the offense is so putrid now. Like,
well, and also there's trouble in that locker room for the defense. They're blaming each other.
Yeah.
They're pointing fingers after they're interviewing Cam Hayward. He's basically calling out Minka Fitzpatrick.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't even see that.
And he said, some of us don't work as hard as others.
Wow. But no, I texted my group chat on the Saturday night game when Pittsburgh was playing Cincinnati, and I said, if your offense can't get right against Cincinnati, then you obviously have a fucking problem.
Yeah.
Because Cincinnati has been a turnstile all season long. Yeah. And if you're struggling to score 17 against them, like...
I guess a team that's lost games, even though they scored 30 points, like,
So, bro, like, and Baltimore's defense has turned the corner of late. Their secondary has gotten a lot better because they had a young secondary. So they've been getting a lot more experience.
The Bengals, they went from the worst DBs, and they went from statistically the worst defensive backfield to the Bengals being the worst defensive backfield.
So, yeah, I think the Ravens win this one handily. I think Lamar has been playing some of the best football he has down the stretch here. Derrick Henry is still a problem. I don't think the Steelers have enough to weather that storm, because I think it's going to be a lot of three and outs, and I think they're just going to keep running it and running it and running, and they're just going to have no answer after a while.
Did you see the social media clip that went viral of Derrick Henry being told he got the Pro Bowl?
No.
He walks in, and I think it's the running backs coach or the strength coach, and he's like, Derrick. He's like, yeah, what's up? He goes, you made the Pro Bowl. And he goes, cool. He goes, first team, man. He goes, yeah, bet. And just walks away.
I've done this fucking, like 11 straight years.
I love that fucking guy, man. All right, the next game, Buffalo-Denver. This is in Buffalo. I don't think Denver. Denver, mind you, has the defense that carried me to the fantasy football championships. Four times this year, they had scored 20 or more fantasy points, which is impossible for a defense to do. But Buffalo, I don't think they have the horses. Bo Nix has shown us in games that he can be trusted. He's also shown us in games that he can't be trusted. And he's a rookie. I don't think he gets through. You're looking at me like you're going to disagree. Are you serious right now?
No, I don't disagree. I'm a coward. So I'm going to say Buffalo wins this game. But this is my red alert game.
Oh,
if there
no way.
Is an upset to be had in the AFC playoffs, first weekend, I think it's Denver to
beat Buffalo.
Oh, mine's
coming up in a couple.
I think it's Denver to beat Buffalo. I think it can happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think
you
the
heard
Chargers
it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Should be the favorite. I think Baltimore should be the favorite. I think Buffalo should be the favorite. And I think Denver has a better than not chance of beating Buffalo. Because this is the test case for what we have been afraid of for this Buffalo team. It's like, okay, this over-reliance on Josh Allen, is it going to work when the games get tighter and the defenses are better? And this Denver defense is
so
really
good.
You got Patrick Sertan on one side. Is a buddy named Riley Moss.
Yeah.
Riley Moss on the other side. That front has been getting after
the Iowa kid.
Like, man, this could be the defense that Bo Nix and the offense obviously have to do enough, and this Buffalo defense isn't that good.
No, not at all. It's a very
this Buffalo
Denver
defense
very,
is not that good. Denver has a better than good chance of stealing this game. This is the game to make me a completely apologize to Sean Payton if he goes out and fucking wins this shit.
That's true. It is interesting, too, because Bo Nix is a rookie, and I heard some people, just the different podcasts I listened to, being like, well, he looks better than Drew Brees did his rookie year, and then they had to be reminded. Yeah, Drew Brees was
like 22.
Drew Brees was 22, and Bo Nix is going to be 25. They were like, yeah, he didn't look as good as Drew Brees 4 years into the NFL, which is when he was the same age as Bo Nix is now.
Like, what the hell?
All right. Detroit has the bye. So happy for Detroit.
Detroit has the bye.
Obviously, someone. Detroit's my secondary team. I used to root for them when I was a kid.
On. Let's do this because we're breaking divisions.
Okay.
Conference.
Now we're moving on to the NFC. Detroit is the number one seed. They get the bye. Very happy about that.
Stomped out Minnesota.
Yeah, they did. That. To quote, who was it? Coach, the Arizona coach passed away. Romeo Crennel.
We saw who they thought they were.
They are Dennis Green. Excuse me.
Dennis Green.
They are who we thought they were.
Romeo Crennel, bro.
Sorry, my bad.
They do look like I'll give you that.
They are. Romeo's
a lot larger than Dennis Green.
Yeah, yeah. He's a big boy.
I was gonna say the mustache. I see.
Yeah,
I see.
The curly hair.
That's just black hair, bro.
I know, but they wore it the same way, like kind of like a little mini afro.
Yeah.
As soon as I said Kurt, I was like, shut up.
Yeah, I saw you. You were like, damn.
Yeah, Detroit's playing well. David Montgomery, as I said last week, and it was referred to finally on the broadcast, they're like, when they get David Montgomery back, that man is coming back probably for the playoffs because they have the bye week. Super happy for Detroit. Super happy for the fans there. Super happy for the organization as a whole. This is awesome. When Dan Campbell came in, everyone made fun of him. Jared Goff was considered one of the biggest busts in the history of the NFL. It was, and then Sean McVay got there and they're like, only Sean McVay can unlock him. And he doesn't even want him. He traded him for Matthew Stafford. And the way this team has come together, this is everything I believe in. This is underdogs through and through, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, third round pick, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs was told he doesn't deserve to be taken that high. Jack Campbell being told no one should ever take an inside linebacker in the first round.
Anzalano.
Yeah, he's played for Anzalone. Two other teams. Anzalone's played on two other teams. Aiden Hutchinson, we here on this being podcast gone. Thought he was the consensus number one pick, but yeah. Then there was a lot of scouts Jags that were like, he's up. Not going to, not even that, but there are scouts on record who said it wasn't going to translate to the NFL.
Oh, really?
And then he was going to break the sack record, and he's been out the whole year, and they've still come back.
Yeah, like six sacks in the game he got hurt in.
Yeah, it's something the crazy. Way this team has come together. And I say it, I don't know if I think I mentioned it on this podcast, but he's no longer with the team. But Jamal Williams had that line when he was playing for Detroit where he's like, if you want to piss like a puppy, stay on the porch and let the big dogs eat. And I listen to that every day when I go to the gym, and it just gives me more hyped for the Lions.
Also, that offensive line.
So good.
My gosh.
So good.
Sewell, Ragnow, Glasgow, Decker.
Ragnow on
Dan
his,
Skipper
on
who
team.
Always comes in.
Skipper
for
was on other teams. Yeah, like these are all. I love it when, because I say it all the time. The thing
Kirby Joseph.
Yep.
Shout out to Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch. They've all had to play all over the field.
Do you know
because
Branch
of all the
has
injuries.
That mouthpiece in the back of his helmet.
I don't know. I saw it like two games ago and I was like, bro, what are you doing? And there's another DB. I think it was a DB on maybe the Ravens. But he had two mouthpieces, like
yeah,
two
hanging
on, and I was like, "Yo, what are we?" What?
I wonder if that's for like a fallen friend or something like that. Like,
okay, maybe
you know what I mean.
Like, I think they're trying to look cool,
maybe. But Brian Branch, I was like, he plays safety, and he was lining up a corner.
Yeah,
he was like, what's happening?
Man, they've been moving him all over. Like, it's crazy.
The fact they've had 13 and their top two starters, their one and twos. They've had 13 guys on defense on IR. That's 22 players.
If
they've had
you
13
look,
on
I'm
IR.
Looking at their roster right now. Every third and fourth unit guy on the defense is damn near IR'd.
Yeah, because they bump them down when they get hurt.
Yeah, I was about to say, they obviously. So it's like, that is a lot of IRs on one roster.
Yeah, so it's just, I'm super happy for Detroit. Super happy for Dan Campbell. I'm excited. Their GM, Brian, what's his last name?
Brad Holmes.
Brad Holmes. Yeah, like that. This is how you build a team. And the thing, it's the validation.
They brought back Teddy.
it's that, yeah, Teddy Two Fingers, baby.
Teddy Two Gloves. What are you doing?
Two Gloves, sorry. It's whatever. I was close. He hasn't been in the league in 3 years. I was close.
He was in the league last year.
Tomato. Anyway. The thing that I like about it is the validation, building the team, rebuilding the team, and Dan Campbell saying to the owner, just trust me.
Yeah, I was about to say, and I mean,
because they sucked that first year when he was there. They went 3-14.
It's also like the organization top down understanding what it was going to take, having the patience, and then seeing a project to its completion. Like, you have some of these teams that are like, oh, yeah, we're going to do a rebuild. And then, like, after a year, 2 years, they're like, this is taking too long. It's like, bro, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, we have to get the right people in. We have to skip on some quarterbacks that maybe people would want us to reach on. But it's like, we kind of have something working right now. Let's actually see this out.
Yeah. So, and the other thing I really like about it is, like you just
everybody
said,
thought Jared Goff was the bridge. Next thing you know, he's the city.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to put it, man. Everyone was like, oh, look at Jared Goff lose some more games and then go out and get a quarterback. And Ben Johnson was like, no, I got my guy. I'm cool.
Oh, who's the DC? And, he needs a lot of love.
Yeah.
Man.
Anthony? What's my guy's name? Shit.
I'm going to find it. Go ahead. Say what you was about to say.
No, I was just going to say that it's just really cool to see that this works because so many teams are on the other side of it. I personally, as a Jags fan, I'm on the other side of it. Doug Peterson gets here. We have a pretty good first season. And then you trust him. You trust him. You trust Trent Baalke. And then they just make the wrong moves. And all of a sudden, the team starts going backwards. And you're like, no, wait, what? And so it's just cool to see it actually play out. I mean, you've seen this in Philadelphia with the Jalen Hurts thing and all that kind of stuff. And there was a lot of people who were
skeptical.
There was a lot of people who were skeptical of the situation, but Philly stuck by him. They got rid of Doug. They brought in a new coach and they're winning in spite of that coach. But like, I like it when it works out this way. So
they're winning in tandem with the coach. I don't know how much the coach is contributing to the winning, but he's there and we're winning together.
This is just cool. It's cool to see. It's cool to see these foundations built because that means these teams are going to be good for a while.
Yeah.
This isn't like a hire a merchant. All right,
let's stop watching fucking Detroit's balls. All right. Let's
Why? Just move on. This is fun.
We got
this
mad weeks we do to with do. Baltimore. There's a whole nother week to do.
All right. Next one. Do you know how many times we've been on this podcast and I've wanted to do that to Joe when he's doing Fulham or Philly? And I never do. I was like, dude, well, you're recapping.
We've been 5 minutes on Detroit. We've named
you're recapping
every
the entire 90 minutes of the Fulham game, bro.
We talked about every player, every personnel.
All right,
like,
moving on. Well, we're not going to talk about the rest of these games.
Freaking the assistant, like
the Los Angeles Rams, the Minnesota Vikings. This is my red alert game. I think after that loss, I think Sam Darnold's hurt. I don't think that team is cohesive as we thought they were, and I'm the biggest Sam Darnold apologist.
You're a sympathizer.
I am a sympathizer. There you go. I'm a sympathizer. Where did you hear that? That's great.
Mina Kimes, because she's also a sympathizer.
I'm a sympathizer, man. I want them to win, but I just think the Rams are undervalued. I think they're underappreciated, and I think they're resting.
Took a week to
rest. I think the resting that last week is going to really help. Who you got in this one?
I think I have the Rams as well. I didn't think this was a red alert game. You're right.
Really? Minnesota's 14.
I was because Minnesota has the record they have, but I've always believed that they were on shaky ground to begin with, and a lot of this has been by the skin of their teeth. I thought this was just like a better, younger version of the Kirk Cousin year that they kind of went crazy. So I think KOC is a really good coach, but Sean McVay is his daddy. So I think Sean McVay will win this game.
Yeah, we agree on that. Tampa Bay, Washington. Great story in Washington. This is a Baker Mayfield podcast.
This is a Baker pod. Yeah,
sorry, Jaden. We're giving this to the black quarterback, Baker Mayfield.
Yo, that's still one of the craziest things that happened last year. You thought he was actually black.
I didn't think he was. I told you I saw a meme where it was like
saw a thing.
Black
was
quarterbacks
funny.
In the NFL, and it's like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield.
But no, I think Tampa Bay wins this. I think Tampa Bay, they figured out what they couldn't figure out for like 2-3 seasons, even with Tom back there. They have a by far more respectable running game than they've had in seasons. Bucky Irvin has been a revelation to this team. And I think that's really the secret to unlocking Baker. Baker at his best in Cleveland also had Nick Chubb there, which helps lighten the load for you in that way. And then with Rashad White being able to catch out the backfield, shout out to Mike Evans for getting his 1,000 yards and everybody going crazy for that $3 million incentive.
Do you think he ran off the field because he didn't want people to see him crying?
Nah, I don't think so. Oh. I think he's just like, get out of here. But,
man,
5 years, 1,000 yards. The only other receiver to do it is Jerry Rice. Insane.
11 years.
11 years. My bad.
You cut his record in half.
My bad. But yeah, no, I think the Bucks win this, though. I think Commanders, great season. A lot of learning experience.
Great story to build on, too.
Like, yeah, I was about to say, great foundation.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be a trouble. They're obviously going to be the only team to give us trouble in the NFC East going forward. Because the Cowboys seem to be floundering. The Giants, total rebuild.
That Cowboys team, I think, is falling apart.
So the Commanders, worthy adversaries over there.
Yeah, I'd like, this past Sunday, that Atlanta game was a farce. And I'm happy for Bryce Young, as we've talked about. But did you at any point have any worry in the Saints game? Were you ever like, oh, shit?
They were down for a bit, and I was like,
I mean, they were down big. They were down like 19-3.
I'll tell you what, my group chat that I reference just about every week, filled with a bunch of Tampa Bay fans, were like, fire everybody, burn it all down. They were like, it's over. They're like, we're gonna fucking lose, and the Falcons somehow are gonna win this game. Like, this is our luck. And
that is interesting, because watching that game just from an outsider perspective, because obviously I wanted Tampa to win, but I didn't have like a horse in the race. I never once was like, oh, they're going to, I was like, oh no, someone's going to make a play. And then Vita Vea made a couple plays, which, where has he been? I'm so happy he's back. But it was just one of those things where once they
I thought that inner division, because that's the thing about playing those final games, how they've structured it. That's one thing they got right as far as,
yeah, I was going to say, I love that. Week.
Yeah, I thought the Saints would have been more than happy to play spoiler being on the field that day, the same way the Panthers loved playing spoilers to the Falcons.
Also, Spencer Rattler doesn't look that bad.
Doesn't look that bad, but he don't look that good either.
No, he doesn't look like he's the guy, but he's definitely someone I would love to have as a backup.
Yeah. You know who did look really good, and I'm not shocked? Fucking Joe Milton. Out of Tennessee, he suffered that injury like in Tennessee when he was like having a really good year, and then I guess he got drafted by the Patriots, and I think Drake May like took a sack and they're like, "Yep, let's get our future out of here." And Joe Milton was slinging the pill yesterday. My man was like, "Oh, I'm about to put up tape right now." He looked like Matt Flynn out there, like, I'm about to get paid off of one meaningless game. And of course he is. Yeah, I think it's from like Orlando or Palm Beach, and then he went to Michigan.
Pahokee.
Yeah, and then he transferred to Tennessee. But
I mean, really good. 6'5", 246. How did this guy?
A unit.
Oh, he went to Olympia.
He suffered an injury. I would say he suffered like a, I think it was like an ACL injury in that season of Tennessee when like Tennessee should have been really good. Like, their offense was crazy. But yeah, he suffered an injury, and that was kind of like, don't know what's going to happen to him now.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. So they're going to have to trade him. He played at Michigan. This is insane. Yeah, he
played at Michigan, how old transferred is he? Out, went to Tennessee.
Oh, he's another 24-year-old rookie, another old-ass rookie. God, that's got to suck to be like, physically, I'm better than you.
I'm
older than you. Like to Drake May, like, I'm older than you. I'm better than you. I'm bigger than you. And everyone's like, Drake May is the future.
Drake May is the future, though. Drake May is the future. Joe Milton could be somebody else's future, but right now, Drake May is their future.
All right, last one. I'll let you wax poetic on this one. Green Bay, Philly, baby.
Just take care of business, baby. Packers on a two-game slide. Jordan Love suffered an elbow injury in that last game. They pulled
out cautionary. Why was he playing cautionary in that game?
Because they could have been the 60 instead of the 7, but they ended up losing to the Bears. But I think, and we just got word that Christian Watson, I believe, tore his ACL, so he's done for the year.
He's out.
Very unfortunate. But the only thing I want to hear right now, like between now and Wednesday, is Jalen Hurts is out of protocol. Like, I'm trying to...
Oh, is he still in protocol?
He's still technically in protocol. And I've just been like, you know what? I think they didn't plan on playing him this week anyway. So they're just like, protocol. Like, we're not going to take him out of protocol. That just so we don't have to put him on the injury report and anything else. So that's been my assumption. But until I get word that he's cleared to go, I'm going to be a little nervous, actually.
Kenny Pickett looked pretty good.
Kenny Pickett, I don't know how his ribs are. So I don't know if we got to go out there with
Kenny Pickett. Why was McKee in that game? So Kenny Pickett went out hurt?
Kenny Pickett went out hurt. That's why he jumped in that the game prior. Yeah. He got hurt. Shit. He hurt his ribs. So McKee had to come in. McKee looked good in that game. He looked good yesterday.
McKee actually did look good in that game, too.
So he looked really good in that game.
You know,
he
threw like where everyone five passes that there's only 10 good quarterbacks.
And like two of them were touchdowns.
Yeah, in a league where everyone's like, there's no good quarterbacks. It's like, I think you guys just aren't looking in the right spots.
I don't know if they're good quarterbacks, but got good talent around them.
That's true, yeah.
McKee, if you're throwing it, it looks a lot different when you're throwing it to AJ and Devontae. Yeah. Like,
dude, you know. there's a clip going around of Saquon Barkley on the sideline being like, AJ Brown is so good at football.
That was from like game one. But yeah, they put out a clip of like all the best like sideline clips from the year. So that's the first one.
That's one of my favorite ones. Saquon Barkley, one of the best running backs to ever do it, being like, this guy can play. Yo,
this guy is a beast. Yeah. But no, I think the Eagles take care of business. I've waxed about how I don't think the Packers really have it. How their defense has been playing with fool's gold for most of the season. Definitely improved over what they were last
season. They were last year, for sure.
But definitely not what I think a lot of people thought they were early on in this season.
Real quick, this Jordan Love thing, I hear people talk about him that he's really good and he might be one of these elite quarterbacks.
I don't see it.
Whenever I watch him,
The one time I seen it was in the postseason last year.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it with people.
I don't know if I'm crazy,
about.
But his stats are good. But when I watch him play, I'm just like,
I'm not impressed.
The same guy, right?
There's so much more people. I was more impressed by Joe Milton yesterday than I've been all the time I've watched Jordan Love.
Joe Milton can throw. He can throw it around the yard.
But
I can't get over Joe Milton III. Come to Jacksonville, baby.
Speaking of, because that's the last game we're going to talk about. I did have something I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
I did put it on the rundown because I forgot about it until just now. Are we concerned about all the potentially bad money that was spent last year?
What do you
mean? Tua get a major contract. Couldn't even finish out the season. I don't know if it's a concussion. Then we heard a hip injury.
Because
last week, I didn't even know he wasn't playing until like the game started. And I was like, wait, Tua's not. Why is Tua not playing?
Yeah, and then I saw Snoop this week. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I was like, he's still out? I was like, playoffs are on the line. Like, what's going on?
You have to win this game.
Your guy, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence out again.
Injury.
From that dirty hit.
Is that the one that took him out? He hadn't come back since that one?
Yeah, so he was hurt, and he was like, it's my non-throwing shoulder. I have to get surgery on. Oh, okay. I'm fucking playing because we could still maybe salvage the season. We're in the AFC South.
Then
all we have to do is beat
the
Texans one more time, and we could make the playoffs. And then that was against Houston. That's why he played it. And that dirty hit, he literally was out for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, came back, out for the rest of the season.
Yeah. And
Deshaun
then Jordan
Watson
Love.
Out. Jordan Love out. Come on. But I mean, that Deshaun Watson contract's guaranteed, so every year it's going to matter.
Yeah, it's going to matter. Kirk?
There's too much dead money out there for these quarterbacks.
Kirk?
Do you think, answer your question with a question. No, go ahead.
I don't remember if I texted it to you, but no clearer has the Kirk Cousin contract looked so bad, like letting the Panthers drop 44 on your head.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. 100%. I completely agree with you. The thing is, do you think this pushes teams to settle on a quarterback middle class, which we have been lacking, other than Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield?
So funny enough.
A lot of big money or no money.
I was just listening to Chris Sims on a podcast, and he basically said what me and you have been talking about for years, like there needs to be an adjustment period. Like,
yeah.
And he was like, Brock Purdy is the test case. Like,
yeah.
Brock Purdy should not get 60, 50. It's $30 million is not a bad life.
No, like, it's not. But to come out as like a seventh round pick and you're barely getting paid anything compared to your teammates now.
And then you get $30 million for the next 5 years. Like, yeah, what are we talking about? Are we going to really cry home because he didn't get another $30
million?
It'd be
one thing if it was a first round pick where they got like $40 million out of the gate. And then you're like, all right, now we're going to adjust this.
His dad plays baseball. Like, he's fine. Yeah, he's fine.
Well, this is what we talked about. If you're a white quarterback, you probably come from a rich family. If you're a black quarterback, you probably don't.
Obviously came from, you know, your dad's incarcerated or something.
Yeah.
That's how they, well, that's how the draft will that. Tell it. That's how the draft will paint it.
Yeah, they always have those sad stories. But like, it's just Drake Mays with his whole family, his like five brothers, his girlfriend from like seventh grade. Yeah. And then you smash cut to Jayden Daniels. You just hang out with his mom. You're like, wait, what?
I don't say there's a. Oh, it was Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter's dad has been to jail, in and out of jail and whatnot. Cause he could have went. He's out of jail right now. He could have went to the Heisman ceremony, but he sent his mother, Travis's grandma, in his stead.
I'm so nervous about this fifth pick. Everyone's like, if you guys can move up to get Travis Hunter, you should. And I'm like, we need the tackle from Alabama. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. No.
So many message boards.
Offensive tackle.
So many message boards want flashy players. This makes me sick.
Yeah, no. Build from the inside out.
We've got Brian Thomas. We're fine.
But,
I got Philly. I got Philly winning big, baby.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
I'm sorry. I was trying to bring us back, but I forgot where we were. Oh,
there was something you were about to say. Oh, the quarterback middle class.
It was that question. Yeah.
Yeah. Sim said that Purdy will probably be the test case for it because the thing is, on the open market, nobody's going to give you that number.
Well, let's also not forget like, it's going to be Purdy. And then if they lose in the first round, Sam Darnold might be up for that test case too.
Yeah. I would say, like, you're not going to. Teams have been like betting against themselves. Like, nobody was going to pay Tua what the Dolphins paid Tua.
Yeah.
You didn't have to get to
who are you bidding against, is Bill Simmons.
No one was going to pay Trevor what was name was about to pay Trevor. You know why we all know that? Because nobody wanted to pay a two-time MVP in Lamar Jackson what he ended up getting.
Well, and this is crazy, too, because nobody would have paid Trevor that. We could have given one. We could have made Trevor play his fifth year. And even if we didn't, which is a smart play, you never make him play. You always pay him early or else the market's going to go up. So we all know that. So it's smart to pay him. But you didn't have to pay him that much because now what's happened is we've played Josh Hines-Allen and Trevor, and now we can't re-sign four of our players next year. Yeah. Evan Ingram and Kirk Cousins or and Christian Kirk are going to have to get traded or cut or, you know, one or the other for both of them. And then Andre Sisco, who was our big pickup four years ago in the draft, now we're just going to have to let him go. And it's just like, come on, man.
Oh, good old Trent Baalke.
I fucking hate Trent Baalke. This cockroach has survived Urban Meyer, Doug Peterson. He survived Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco.
Yeah, he did.
What is happening?
Kim Tomsula, Chip Kelly. I think he finally got fired with Chip.
All right.
Yeah.
He NCAA.
He wrote it out for a long time. Man.
What is this guy doing? He's got pictures.
Do we want to talk about the coach firings right here? Only two coaches got fired.
Yeah, I told
Black us, Monday.
I literally texted you, hey, do you want to do it Monday night so we could see all the coach firings? Yeah. There's two.
Only two on Black Monday, but I did the numbers. I ran the numbers. Six coaches this season have been fired. Saints, you had the Jets, you had the Bears. There's always one I keep forgetting. The Saints was one I usually keep forgetting. Saints, Jets, Bears.
Patriots, Jacksonville.
Patriots now, Jacksonville. There's another team. There's a sixth team.
Are we going to have to look this up? God, how is a sports podcast? It's going to be a team none of us care about.
I'm going to know it. I'm going to be so mad. Hold on. Don't do it yet. Don't do it yet.
I'm going to look it up and then you try and find it in your head.
Let me envision it. Da-da-da-da-da-da. No. No, I don't think. Maybe I made it up.
No, it's just
up.
Five. You made it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I was
it's
saying, maybe
five.
I made it up.
Yeah, huh. We would have been here for a while if you tried to think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bears, Jags, Patriots, Saints, Jets.
Huh, okay.
That's all I got. As of January 6th. At
as of right now, I think in my head, Antonio Pierce might get fired. I think that I made the sixth one in my head.
The Raiders one I was actually thinking of too, and I was like, no, he's still there.
Yeah, I'm like, he's still there, huh? Okay. So, Gerard Mayo, raw deal. Like, you hired a guy who had never been, not even a DC.
I know. He got the bad end of that deal.
Yeah, like, you handpicked him as the successor to, like, not Bill Belichick handpicked him. You, Robert Kraft, owner,
put
handpicked
it in
him.
And Bill Belichick's contract, so that way he would stay on.
Yeah, so it's very odd to make
also
that
interesting, I heard Mike Vrabel only took the Jets interview to force
Belichick
at firing Mayo.
To put more pressure on them.
So Vrabel's obviously going to the Pats, even though
also
have
this
to
is
do
a Rooney
Rule
issue.
Stuff.
Like,
yeah.
If you can't just have your guy lined up,
well, they don't. On paper, they don't. They're going to interview.
They do.
People, like, how do you prove it? That you can't prove it.
We just heard from valid sources, Vrabel only took this job to pressure the firing of them, meaning he knows he's going to go there.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard Ben Johnson is running as fast as away, running away as fast as he can from the Jags job because they kept Trent Baalke, which is great news to hear. I love hearing that.
So Brian Flores, 1 year
Brian
and then you're
Flores
fired.
No, don't say
that's
that.
That's what happens to every black coach.
No, are you kidding me? Todd Bowles is crushing it.
Come on.
Raheem
Morris? He had to be handpicked that job.
If Antonio Pierce gets another job, your entire argument is null and void. If he keeps his job.
If he keeps it, I was like, get another job.
No, I meant if he keeps it, because that Raiders team is abysmal.
Look, David Cutcliffe, Lovie Smith, all were
Lovie
sacrificed.
Smith coached for 20 years in Chicago.
Okay, not 20 years. Very exaggerated. But he did 1 year in Houston.
God, remember that look he had in Houston with that beard?
No, right? And look, he put them in a better position with that extra win. Similar, yeah, maybe did. Gerard Mayo just put them in a better position with this extra win. Who knows?
Yeah, it sucks because Gerard Mayo was in a no-win situation. You can never follow a legend. You even texted it to me.
Yeah.
You never want to
be
the guy.
You never
want to
be
the guy
that follows the
guy.
You want to be the guy after the guy that follows the guy. You don't
like, and then Mike Vrabel will be that person. And then because he's a good coach, they'll start winning and they'll be like, oh, see. And it's like, no, if Mike Vrabel came in after Belichick, he would have been fucked.
Yeah.
All right. So. NCAA. Let's talk about it. We are in the college football semifinals. Texas taking on Ohio State, the Ohio State University, Penn State, Notre Dame. I was right about Ohio State. I was wrong about Georgia. Joe was right about Notre Dame and wrong about Oregon. So it's kind of a wash. Who you got, Texas or Ohio State?
Man. You know what really sucks about this right now? The way the playoffs have shaken out, I'm rooting for two teams I hate to do good just to make a point.
Ohio
I don't
State.
Like it. I don't like it.
I know you hate Ohio State from that.
I hate Ohio
State
and I hate Notre Dame, and I need them both to win just because I'm an asshole and I want to be right.
I feel seen with you saying that. I just want to be right. I don't really care.
I just want to make fun of the SEC for being overrated, and the best team in the SEC is a team that wasn't in the SEC last year.
Yeah. And then, I literally looked at this and I go, oh, there's no SEC team. And I was like, oh, that fucking
doesn't
count.
Yeah, you have to keep reminding yourself, like, oh, Texas is, I guess, it's the SEC. And then Penn State, I just never believe in Penn State, really. That's really the thing.
Not at all.
I don't believe in Penn State. I don't believe in James Franklin.
Well, this is the thing that bothers me is I hate Notre Dame, but it's like
I hate Notre Dame as well.
But I don't
Catholics
want Penn
versus
State
convicts. I hate Notre Dame. It's rooted. I did see something the other day that made me kind of like Notre Dame. You know why they got their? You know how they got their nickname? The Fighting Irish.
Because they used to get drunk and fight people.
No, that is racist. It's because the KKK was having a rally in South Bend and students went out and fucked shit up.
Oh, like that.
Love so that's how they became the Fighting Irish. And I was like,
yeah, but Penn State has a black coach, so.
Penn State has a black coach. Notre Dame has a black coach. Notre Dame. Notre Dame has a black coach. Marcus Freeman.
Penn State
Marcus
has a blacker Freeman. Coach.
Marcus Freeman hasn't covered up like six sexual assaults by his players at two different programs.
James Franklin has done that?
At Vanderbilt and now at Penn State.
Wow. There's,
yeah.
Let's go Fighting Irish. Ohio State, Notre Dame in the national championship.
It's gonna Ohio piss State me off so much.
They're gonna destroy Texas. Yes?
Oh yeah, Texas should have lost to Arizona State.
Yeah, that's not
Scatterboo. Good. Dude, that dude.
I was just about to bring him up. Scatterboo. He's not gonna translate to the NFL, but I love it.
Not.
This is Toby Gerhardt all over again.
He is not, but he was that dude.
You know how you can always tell because all the running backs that are bigger in college, like the big white running backs. Never translate.
No.
People are like, well, Christian McCaffrey's right white. I'm like, yeah, big. But he's tiny.
Yeah.
He's like a scat
speedster.
Back.
Yeah, I was yeah. He's a speedster.
He's not like a like these big like bowling running yeah, backs
big,
that are white.
Lumbering,
it's like dude, you're not gonna
I'm gonna pound
a
into you. Like yeah. You're not gonna pound
you're gonna
into
get chased
me,
down by a defensive lineman in the NFL, bro.
Do we want to talk about how bad the games have been or no?
Nah, I mean we predicted this. We said this. They were going to be bad, and they were. I mean, if you want to talk about the Oregon Ohio State game, because you thought that was going to be a lot close. I mean,
that
I
shit was
said
over
close,
in 5 minutes.
Yeah, they went up 21-0 in the first quarter.
That shit was done fat. You know the thing that really pissed me off about that game. And it also made me really mad at somebody that I really like, Jeremiah Smith, the receiver for Ohio State, waited until the last like second of signing day to sign to go to Ohio State because he was waiting to see what Cam Ward was going to do. And Cam Ward had declared for the draft. And then the next day, Cam Ward committed to Miami. So he could have been throwing it to fucking Jeremiah Smith if he would have just been quicker with his decision.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
like there's literally a video
for the draft and then transferred to Miami.
Yeah, he entered the draft and then like the next day it was like, "Nah, I'm going to come to Miami." And Jeremiah Sims was
where
like,
"Where was he at before?"
He was at Washington State.
Okay.
And Jeremiah Sims was basically like at that time was like, "Yo, Cam, if you go to Miami, like I'm going to come with you." And then Cam entered the draft and he was like, all right, guess I'm going to Ohio State. Like, there's literally a press conference where it's like towards the end of signing day.
Oh, yeah, because once you commit,
Ryan
you have
Day,
to wait the year.
You have to wait the year. Ryan Day is at like the table and he's talking about signing day. And then, like, an assistant comes over and he's like, Sims just faxed over his thing. He's like, oh my gosh. Oh, we got our guy. And it's like, fucking shit.
This is crazy. I'm so
but that kid is going to be a problem. That kid is really good. That kid's really good.
Yeah, and then there's the Arizona. Is it the Arizona State? Yeah, the Sun Devil. The receiver that they have. Everyone on the message boards is like, we got to take the receiver out of Arizona State. I guess he's the best receiver in this class. And I'm like, no, we're not taking a receiver. Ohio State.
You're good.
Yeah, Ohio State over Texas, Notre Dame over Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State. Ohio State boat races Notre Dame because this team looks like it cannot be stopped. Ryan Day.
Notre Dame's defense looks really good.
Their front four looks good. I don't think their corners can keep up, though. That speed is nuts. Because this is what I said. Watching the game, I was like, if there's any team that's not in the SEC that can keep up with Ohio State speed-wise, it's Oregon because they recruit track stars.
Yeah.
And they looked like they were standing in concrete. So I don't know. I don't know if it was a bad game. Everyone has an off game, but this high-powered Oregon offense looked bad.
I think one of the things to look into is the bye week.
Yeah, good point.
I would say all the teams that had the bye lost.
Yeah, that's a very
good
point.
All the other teams that have been in rhythm you know?
Because I think in college, when you're dealing with, you know, 17, 18, 19 year olds, it's a lot different than dealing with NFL players who are like, yeah. no, we need the bye week to rest. These kids, they bounce right back.
Yeah.
The so bodies are fine.
Very interesting.
All right. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. NBA. Here we go. Some teams that had great Decembers and some teams that had awful Decembers. Boston Celtics, bad December.
Bad December?
Your Denver Nuggets?
Mediocre December.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who had the best December?
Best December is the team that hasn't lost in 15 games.
The Cavs?
No, the Thunder are 15-0 in their last 15.
Wow.
Yeah, the Cavs are 10-0 in their last 10.
Can you believe Houston's number two in the West? Or they were as of like 3 days ago?
They still are. That's crazy.
God.
Yeah, Houston's been playing really good. I mean, we saw inklings of this last year, like them playing better, them finally clicking. Yeah,
you and I talked about that. When they got Ime in there, we were like, oh, this is a real coach, and this team didn't look bad.
Yeah, they were fighting for that 10th seed. They looked disjointed. Yeah. But yeah, no, they really took it up a notch. But no, OKC is on a warpath, man. They look really good. Shai looks really good. He's fighting for that MVP with all his blood, sweat, and tears, but I still think it's going to go to Jokic because Jokic is putting ungodly numbers up right now. Like, not even funny.
I want to ask you something as a fan and someone who pays a lot more attention to the Nuggets than I do, and this is not shade. I'm not trying to come at you. What's going on with Jamal Murray? Because I keep hearing like echoes on podcasts where they're like, well, Jamal's got to play better. Or is Jamal like not the guy we thought he was? Like, what's going on? This guy was like the Green Arrow. We loved him in COVID.
Blue Arrow. Get it together.
Sorry. And we loved him in COVID. And I remember that's when I discovered him and he was doing the Arrow thing. And I was like, who is this guy?
I think, okay, there's two things. One, I think the biggest thing is playoff Jamal's by far different than regular season Jamal. Okay. I always want that regular season Jamal to be better, and he's not better. He's averaging 19. He's gotten his average up back to where it normally is. He had a really slow start to the season, but he's gotten it back to where it is. And the other thing is Aaron Gordon is not there right now, and Aaron Gordon creates a lot of space for everybody else. He makes life easier for a lot of guys. And him not being on the court right now has kind of disjointed the spacing everybody's used to playing with. They figured it out in recent games. But yeah, those are the main two things.
So I guess what my question is, what I'm really asking you is because I always pictured Jamal Murray being this guy. But again, I wasn't paying enough attention. Do you think as someone who pays a very close attention to this team and watches a lot of the games, do you think Jamal Murray could be the number two? Is he like a number two on a championship, like every year competitive kind of roster? Or is it because of the other pieces? Or is Jamal Murray that guy?
I think Jamal Murray.
Because they won a championship. But
I think Jamal Murray is a two. The difference between, I think, some people and other people, I think Jamal Murray is a two and can only be a two.
Okay, got it.
There's a lot of guys who they – maybe they are a two, but they can go be a one somewhere
Jaylen
else.
Jaylen Brown and Tatum is who I'm
Yeah. Like Donovan Mitchell to a degree. Like he was
LeBron
one,
and
two,
AD.
And
yeah.
then it's like, hey, go be a like a real one somewhere else. And like, oh, the Cavs are amazing. I don't think Jamal has, hey, go be a one and like go, you are the main focus. I don't think he has that. I think he could figure it out, but
yeah.
I think it will take a second to figure out.
So this is more Batman and Robin, less Justice League. Gotcha.
Yeah. He is like, it was funny. Me and my buddy were having a conversation about Donovan Mitchell and he the other day because I think they were either drafted in the same draft or drafted like a year apart. And actually, funny enough, Donovan Mitchell was drafted to buy the Nuggets, traded on draft night.
Where did he go to Utah originally, right?
No, he was drafted on draft night trade to Utah. We traded for Trey Lyles.
No, that's because I was trying to think of where Donovan Mitchell played before Cleveland.
Yeah. I was like, Donovan Mitchell, if we're going to do comps as far as like playing type, Donovan Mitchell is 2000, 2001, Allen Iverson. Undersized guard. He's the orbit of a franchise. He can go score 1,000 points. He's going to take 1,000 shots to do it. But he's going to go get it done. Yeah. Jamal Murray is 2000-2001 Kobe Bryant. He is really good, but he is not the guy yet. He can have nights where he can show you, like, oh, I can do this, but there's a big guy that is the guy in front of him. So.
Who are you taking, prime Shaq or prime Jokic?
What era are we playing in? Are we playing today? Or are we playing 20 years ago?
Well, let's meet in the middle, 10 years ago.
Jokic.
Yeah, me too.
Because 10 years ago, you're getting ready for...
10 years ago was 2015.
So yeah, I was about to say, you're getting ready for Golden State and everybody that's what I was thinking. I want Jokic.
Yeah, it was weird how... I know we talked about this before, but the how centers were just out of the league.
Yeah.
When that whole small ball thing started, and now they're back. Top three MVP candidates the last 4 years have all been centers.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Outside of
Shy
Glizzy. Yeah. Don't sleep on Shy. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the quick hits.
All right. You'd be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it hits.
Quick hit.
All right. Talking quick hits. You want to hit on the NHL for us, Joe?
All right. Florida Panthers. Did we win our last game? I can't remember.
I don't know. The way you said that, it sounds like you lost.
No. Yes, we did. We lost to the Avalanche. The game prior, we beat the Penguins. I'm always like a game behind, I feel like. I remember the win to the... That's the other thing. I'm off Twitter now almost entirely.
Blue Sky. My guy's on Blue Sky.
I'm a Blue Sky guy, but I don't think the Panthers have a Blue Sky yet, or they're not active on there yet. And... my days go by very fast, so if I'm not paying attention, I'll forget to turn on the game or I'll forget to check the score. But no, we beat the Penguins because I meant to text Anderson about that because it was in overtime. And we lost to the Avs last. So right now we're sitting at 2 in the division in the Atlantic, the Cat Atlantic. Maple Leafs are over us by 4 points. Congrats to them. Bruins under us. Let's go to the extended. The Caps, man. I watched the Caps game the other day. I forgot who they were playing while I was at the gym. Oh, I think they were playing the Rangers. They're playing the Rangers? Yeah, they were playing the Rangers. Put up 7 goals on them. They went crazy.
Yo. Ovechkin fighting for that title?
Oh, my gosh. New Jersey Devil sitting right behind them. Carolina Hurricanes. Tampa Bay. Sitting on the outside looking in on the wild card. 3 points behind the Boston Bruins with a lot of games in hand. They have 5 less games played than the Boston Bruins. So Tampa could easily find their way into third in the Cat Atlantic. And then the Canadiens are last there. Winnipeg Jets, top of the Central. Minnesota Wild, number 2. Avs, number 3. The Knights, still number 1 in the Pacific. Kings and Oilers, that has not changed. Dallas Stars and the Canucks bringing up your wild card in NHL.
There we go. All right. Time for everyone's favorite segment. Now that college football is about to wrap up, let's get to it. The Fulham Corner brought to you by AEW Wrestling. I was just trying to say,
our women's team is sponsored by their kit sponsor is AEW.
I wasn't too far off.
So, yeah, I've slept through this game. I woke up early Sunday, and I was like, why the fuck am I up early on Sunday? And I went back to sleep, and then when I woke up again, I was like, oh, Fulham play.
That's why.
I'm very annoyed with the Sunday games, especially the Sunday early start, 9 o'clock. I hate it. We need to get back to Saturdays, baby. Actually, I think they have a game against Watford tomorrow. Now that I'm thinking about it in the FA Cup, first round of the FA Cup. But, we drew again with Ipswich, who are at the bottom of the table.
One of the teams that you said we have to beat these kind of teams.
We have to beat these kind of teams. Literally last week we're like, this is very annoying. But now I will give Ipswich credit. They're 18th right now. So right now they're in the relegation zone. But they are tied with 17 Wolverhampton. So it would be interesting if Ipswich were to stay up. They have played very well throughout the season. I want to say they played Chelsea pretty close recently as well. They beat Chelsea 2-0, actually. What? Yeah, they beat Chelsea 2-0 in their game prior to this.
What happened? They have a slow start or something? Why are they in relegation?
They were one of the teams that just came up. So, yeah, it takes those team a while to, like, define what how their playing styles is going to be. But, yeah, no, they're a feisty side. So we still should be beating those teams, but, you know, walking away with a point is never a bad thing. Still top of the table, sitting at number 9 right now. So, yeah, 2-2 draw. Raul Jimenez got the two penalty. Well, was it two pens? Or was it one pen? I know it was one pen at least. No, two pens. Yeah, he had two pens. He is now the leading scorer. He's now the highest scoring Mexican in the EPL.
That was the guy who came over from the – he plays for, like, the Mexico national team and stuff, right?
Yeah.
He was hurt a bunch, and then he came back, and then he got
hurt. Yeah, he had hurt his head, and now he plays with the patch on his head or whatever, like the plate on his head. So, yeah, not the result we wanted, but not a bad result either. It keeps us treading water in our quest for Europe. Right now we're only, 5 points out of Europe with half the season left to be played, so it's not a – bad position to be in, especially if we're going to keep playing some of the top teams competitively and some of the middle teams competitively. But we need to win those games against those bottom teams. We have to. Those bottom 100%. Five, we have to assert our dominance and just, you know, take all those points. Leave nothing.
Take them
to
out. Take them down.
Leave nothing to the imagination there. So,
all right. Well, thank you for that. Let's go to the press conference.
All right. It takes a second for me to get to the press conference.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to turn it back up.
Yeah, I'm about to do that now. See, the things I have to turn down, then I have to take it off, then I got to turn it back up, and then.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
All right. Where can we find you, Joe?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. Mainly Instagram and Blue Sky. Really not even Instagram, honestly. I'm just on there to look at memes. Instagram is effectively my TikTok, just because I don't want to be on TikTok. Also, I'm on Letterboxd now. If you listener, if you're on Letterboxd, I'd be logging movies and shit. I need to watch a movie tonight because one of my New Year's resolutions is a movie a day. I'm going to watch Conclave tonight, right after this recording. So Twitter, Instagram... at Joe Dorville. You can check me out on Blue Sky at Joe Dorville. Don't forget to check out this show and the other shows. That's Cheers from the Press Box on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky. Who Does a Pod? A New Low. Check out all these shows. They're good. They're fun. The year-end wrap-up just aired the other day, Brennan. So you can check that out if you want to catch up on
it. Oh, yeah.
And don't forget to check my merch and my music. Other than just Google headphone Joe, no E in the phone.
All right. Perfect. At Brennan T Comedy on all social media. BrennanTComedy.com. Got some dates coming up. March, I'll be in LA. April, Boston, Connecticut. I'll be all over. So check out the website for those shows. And check out my other podcast, X Drinking Buddy, where I have a guest on every week and we talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, party, and getting in trouble stories. Sometimes we riff on the Civil War when I have another history buff on, which was weird to have two white guys talking about the Civil War, but so is American history.
That's somebody made a really good joke. I don't think it was this recent episode because I still haven't finished it. I think it might have been an episode ago, but it was like, yeah, you know, these people got money, like, they were like some of the last people in the North that had slaves. Like, they got that kind of money. Like, it's a good, that's a good descriptor. That makes a lot of sense.
I think it was this episode.
Was it?
Because Bobby's a big Civil War buff too. So we kept going off on tangents about that. It was funny too, because like every time, just a peek into the show, behind the show, every time I tried to get us back on track, I felt like he was doing it on purpose because he's a roast comic. Like, that's how he started. I think he was purposely like derailing to like riff because he didn't want to get like too like personal. I don't know, but I was like, you have your own podcast where you talk about personal stuff. Like, what are we doing? Like, why do you keep riffing? Answer the fucking question.
All right, let's get out of here. Brennan.
All right. And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out to the unsung hero of this Detroit Lions team. Brad Holmes, man. GM never gets enough credit, especially a black GM in the NFL.